It's All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Burris. Georgia is not doing enough to protect people with developmental disabilities from neglect while they're in state care. It's also not doing enough to provide housing to people with mental illness. Those are two conclusions of a report released this week, all about Georgia's compliance with a federal plan intended to improve the services offered to people with certain kinds of disabilities. WABE healthcare reporter Sam Whitehead has been looking through the report, and he's with me now. Sam, welcome.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Let's back up a bit. How did the federal government even come to be involved in how the state serves people with disabilities?
So we can trace this back 20 years ago. The Supreme Court issued a decision in a case that actually got its beginnings here in Georgia. This is the Olmstead case. What the Supreme Court said there is that people with disabilities have a right to receive state-funded services, not just in institutions, but in the community. So what happened is that was back in 1999. About 10 years later, the Department of Justice started to look around the country and see how states were actually complying with that ruling. They found a bunch of states were not doing a great job. Georgia was one of them. The Department of Justice sued at that point. In 2010, the state of Georgia reached an agreement with the Department of Justice that it would try to essentially get better at serving folks with disabilities. Part of that agreement was that an independent reviewer would monitor how the state's doing. And it's that independent reviewer's report that came out this week that we're talking about.
So here we are 9 years later, and where do we stand now as a state?
So state officials wrote to the Department of Justice earlier this year asking to be essentially released from this settlement agreement. The Department of Justice has said, maybe not so fast. There's still some work to be done. And as we look through the report this week, we can see some of the ways that this independent reviewer says the state is not actually fully meeting the terms of this agreement.
So absolutely. The state says, hey, we're doing a great job. And the Department of Justice says, well, maybe not. So the way to find that out is to read the report. And what does that report say?
Folks with developmental disabilities who are receiving community services, in some cases, are dying unnecessarily from neglect. Another issue the independent reviewer highlights is that the state's process for reviewing and instituting corrective action plans to stop these problems is too slow. Something that really surprised me too is this independent reviewer relies on state data. And what she found is that that data was often incomplete or inconsistent. So not only do we have these larger issues, but even the state's ability to gather data on them and present that in a clear way is at issue as well.
The report also talks about the state serving those who have a mental illness.
Yes, this is a population with what's called SPMI, that severe persistent mental illness. The state is supposed to be able to provide housing for about 9,000 of these individuals. The report says that's not happening. For one reason, it says the state's not reaching out enough to these communities. These are folks who are maybe, say, cycling in and out of jail, folks who maybe show up in emergency rooms because they're going through mental health crises. To complicate this even more, this report says the state purely doesn't have the capacity to even house those 9,000 people were it reaching out to them effectively.
Sam, why are these problems happening?
So this report identifies a few big reasons. For one, it doesn't say the state itself doesn't know about these problems. What the report says, though, is that while there might be plans in place to solve these problems, they're not being implemented. Another issue here is the state not fully utilizing resources that might be set aside for a specific purpose. The report found that when it comes to housing people with severe persistent mental illness, there's maybe the resources there, but the state's not doing a good enough job to actually expend those resources.
There has to be some good news happening here.
And the report does highlight that. One of the parts of the settlement agreement was that the state no longer use institutions as the refuge of first resort for folks with developmental disabilities. They say that's happening. They say based on state-provided data, some 640 people have been moved from institutional settings to community settings. The independent reviewer does highlight those as positive gains, but of course says there's still more work to be done.
What does the state say about all this?
The state agency who really does a lot of this work is Georgia's Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. We reached out to them to see what they had to say and got a written response from their commissioner, Judy Fitzgerald. She said she was frustrated by some of the conclusions of the report and also highlighted a lot of the work that the state had done, a lot of the investment that the state had made to serve these communities.
Now what? Where do we go from here?
We've got the plaintiffs, the Department of Justice, the defendants, the state of Georgia. Both of those parties need to come to some agreement about the state's compliance with this agreement. There's also a federal judge here in Atlanta who is overseeing this whole matter, who would then need to sign off on that.
Sam Whitehead covers healthcare for WABE, and we've been talking about the state's compliance with a federal plan to improve the services offered to people with certain kinds of disabilities. Sam, thanks for coming in and explaining this to us.
Thanks, Jim.